Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hello, Rebel. Are you still waiting to optimize the website of yours to bring all the best leads to your new or old online home? Well, I have something to help you do just that. Hostinger is changing the game with their managed WordPress hosting. It's like having a dedicated WordPress butler handling all the nitty-gritty website business for you. Of course, I took Hostinger's Managed WordPress for a spin, and it's a game changer. It's fast, it's secure, and loaded with premium features, all without the premium price tag. They got your back with updates, backups, and top-notch security, aka peace of mind. This is a performance powerhouse for your WordPress site. Lightning fast load times, rock solid uptime, and a user-friendly control panel. Whether you're a WordPress newbie or a seasoned pro, Hostinger has you covered. Ready to elevate your WordPress experience? Zoom over to hostinger.com/AMS and use the promo code AMS to snag 10% off and claim your free domain. Transform your WordPress journey today. On with today's class. Hey, marketing rebels, welcome back to All Marketing School, a show teaching you how to make your marketing more impactful, human, and fun. It's Fab here, your marketing BFF and head teacher at the school. And in today's class, I'm joined by the one and only Emma York. Yeah, once again. Emma, I'm going to start with a question.
Yes.
Can you guess the ideal YouTube video length as per 2023? A, 5 minutes. B, 10 minutes. C, 15 minutes. Also, dear listener, you can guess too.
I'm going to go C, 15 minutes.
Dear listener, what did you think? I can't hear you, but I know you're thinking about it. If you thought A, 5 minutes, you were wrong. If you thought C, 15 minutes, you were wrong. 10 minutes is the sweet spot. And apparently, as per 2023, the daily spend time on the platform is roughly 90 minutes. So it's kind of interesting to see that on average, there is a bit of a consumption of videos that averages around 20 minutes. And yeah, the ideal YouTube video length is 10 minutes. Now, will I ask myself and dear listener and Emma, is this the rule? No, it's absolutely not the norm. It's, you know, there are people that even produce podcasts, if not videos, that are 2.5 hours, looking at Joe Rogan right there, and people still watch them and or listen to them. But I think it's really interesting to see overall how the watch time when it comes to long form video is evolving. So well done for playing, everybody. Well done for quizzing with us. We love a quiz. We started our cohort last week at time of listening. If you listen when it's out. Yeah, sure. Dance.
I will not forget to dance. It's been, I'm so excited. Shout out to our graduates. I love you. But also to our cohort students. I love you even more because you're amazing. So shout out to all our lovely people that joined us. And they know we'll have a good quiz. I always ask quizzes in every event we do, to be honest. It's a big thing. And if you're thinking, why are we talking about YouTube? Fret not, dear listener. There is a reason why I'm asking questions about video content. And to be precise, longer form content is because today is obviously classes in session, and I've been asking Emma to bring some of the cool things that have been happening that caught her attention. And video content and video length is going to be definitely something that we need to think about more, especially on social media platforms. Emma, tell us, what is the tea?
I am selling it. That is a beautiful segue into the one thing I wanted to talk about today. So yes, long form content is on its way to all of the other channels. YouTube is well known for it in 10 minutes. That's super interesting. so yes, you can now add 10 minute videos to TikTok. Again, I don't know who's on TikTok watching one single video for 10 minutes. I know I'm there for longer, watching multiple things. And now Instagram, you can add reels that are up to 3 minutes. So they're all going down this route of much longer content, competing with or similar to YouTube. Now, you said it perfectly a minute ago, and the question is, does that then mean we all need to be posting long form content? And my most favorite word that needs to go on some merch is, it depends. Because if you're already posting video content, if you've already got that content and you're already posting out there, you have to look at your data to tell you, what are people watching? Are they only engaged and watching for 6 seconds? So your answer then is no, you know, or you have to test. But if people are already watching your longer form content and they're already engaged and they're hanging out and they're staying with you and they're watching for many, many minutes, then yes, you can start teasing them or showing up with long form content as well as all your other stuff. So I'm excited about the long form stuff, like you, Fab. I have some long form content with Tea and Tips. It's, you know, that can be 10 minutes. It can sometimes be 40 minutes. And no, not everyone watches all of it. But then I go back and I look at the data. So, and I know you must do. So me asking you whether you look at your data is irrelevant, right? Because I know you look at your data. But it is all to do with what people are already posting, right? Whether it's relevant, whether people are hanging out for that long. I mean, what's kind of like your average for the podcast and your videos when people watch them back?
That's a great question. It varies. For the podcast, we don't have the insights, even if it would be interesting to see if it's a normal episode that doesn't go on video, how long it takes. But I can literally, by the power invested to me by me, try not to open up YouTube the wrong way and go and tell you. Let's do this together, team, right live on air. So we're actually looking at an average of, it's interesting. So it depends on the different videos, but we have around 10 minutes. I didn't plan this. For a lot of the content that we have, we're looking at 10 minutes, especially for the last couple of months. So obviously, I mean, things that go all the way beyond. Now, if we do more of an educational piece, people actually tend to stick around for a lot longer. But it's really interesting to see that the average duration when it comes to interviews and can be between some of them even 15 to 20. So I think that's really, really interesting. It does make me wonder whether there is still a place where people say, actually, if I'm going to consume the whole thing, I'm just going to listen to it instead. Yeah. And that might be part of it. I don't know. I think it's really interesting. So yeah, real time, I can tell you that the time of recording and listening to this, pretty much, we're looking at 10 to 15 minutes. It's something that would need to be improved because, for context, if the episodes are 40 minutes, then we need to actually match that. But I think it's really, really interesting too to see how that shifts. That actually leads me to ask you a question, though. Because for the sake of not sensationalizing anything, I've been reading some content. I believe some of these were even podcast titles, and also seeing videos and stuff saying, faceless content is dead, B-roll is dead. I just love when we get sensationalizing and we're like, this thing is dead now. It's like, okay, intense. But the question and the point is then, you know, we keep talking about you know, do this type of content, and this type of content is that, and this type of content is trendy, so jump on this thing. But I am wondering, if we go away from the killing of B-rolls, does this change and shift when it comes to the platform potentially signal, and there's going to also be a shift when it comes to actual type of video content, like trends that we've been running on a lot? And I am kind of wondering whether this is the switching to the Netflix mentality, and we talked about it before in plenty of episodes, actually, you know, more of a vlogging experience, more of you know, you sharing your story, less of just using trends and audios, and actually people wanting to get more of that from creators in general, something that some of us chose as a preference. Will this now become the norm? I'm going with both TikTok and Instagram. I want to hear what you think, maybe on both of them, maybe either of them, maybe there's going to be slightly differences. What do you think?
It's really, really funny that you say that, because I saw something just this morning with an Instagram expert, self-proclaimed expert, saying that B-roll is the greatest piece of content you could possibly ever have. And if you don't only post one thing, it should be B-roll. So it's really interesting how on one hand, people are saying it's dead and you shouldn't post it and you should be moving away from it. And then others are like, it's all about what works for you. What are you? This doesn't apply to people that aren't using social media yet, because that's a blank canvas, that's an empty book, and you can almost do anything you want and test everything because you haven't started yet. But for those of us that had been knocking on the door of social media success for decades, it is about trying lots of stuff and testing it. And I go back to, I always say, it depends. Please look at your data. I can see it's not the same anymore. Whereas you would see so many content creators be on both channels and repurposing it, whether they're creating on TikTok and repurposing to Instagram or the other way around. And it was very similar, if not the same content. And you would just see it just mass go out, the trends, the memes, the GIFs, and they would just go out everywhere. I'm seeing a really big shift between creators really making an effort to make separate content for both channels. And while they would go, right, TikTok is for my B-roll, my funny, my lip sync, my trends only, and Instagram I'm going to use for educational, really high level carousels, that's what I'm seeing a shift in, where people are still using all types of different content, but really diving into the channel more and not just repurposing everything everywhere. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm seeing.
I can tell you my personal experience when it comes to, I mean, actually thinking about this specific thing. The reason why I asked you was because I thought, well, if Instagram and TikTok are pushing for longer videos, then maybe they're onto something. A 10-minute trend would not work. I don't know, we'll do an audio, but you know what I mean? It's not, unless it starts a thing, but, you know, it's unfathomable as per yet. So it made me think about this, and this is where the platforms are pushing. Now, going back to your question and like reflecting it back to us, we are seeing that the podcast snippets that now we've kind of optimized a bit, we are looking at, we're constantly trying and assessing what works and what doesn't with those, but podcast snippets that we've been also posting on the gram on a separate account. So if you just check our gram, because we wanted the school to actually do what it's supposed to be doing, which is getting people to the school, whereas podcasts you do separately. So we'll try that. And it doesn't do bad. It doesn't do great. It's an account that we put a bit of love into, but maybe not as much, because fair, it was more of an experiment account. However, since we changed the style, we found a style that actually is doing really, really well on TikToks. But on average, our podcast snippets have always been really, really good on TikTok. So going back to your point about differentiating, what I've seen is a couple of creators reposting episodes of their podcast or snippets of their podcast on Instagram. And shout out to Brock Johnson for that, because he is a great example of this. He does it in a very unique way. So again, on TikTok, I wouldn't see maybe working as much, or something that would be as normal. But you know what he does, for example, there's one that just that I love, where he is, you have to kind of be visual now. We have to imagine that he puts a bit of almost like a cover with like black and white, and he says, I asked this person this question, and then he gets the snippet, and the snippet starts with a tiny bit of the answer, but not the full answer. And then he stops again and he says, to know the answer, go and look at the podcast. And another version of that was him doing like a talking head at first, framing what the snippet is going to be about, and then jumping into the podcast or the little snippet. And it was very different from what you usually see 90% of us do, which is just get the snippet and get on with it. But I wonder whether that is part of what you're saying as well, is on TikTok, I think you're much more used to seeing, there's two things. You're much more used to seeing content on the main feed of people that maybe you don't know, or things that maybe are new to you as well because of the way that the platform is. So I think more naturally, if you see a snippet that you're, or something like that, that you're interested in and you don't know the creators, you might just still stick around. But on Instagram, let's be honest, especially in our main feed, we're looking for people that we know. So if we see a piece of content that maybe doesn't have the person themselves, but it has another buddy or another gal, you're like, okay, this is not of interest because I don't know who you are. I don't know. Let me know what you think. But again, that answers a bit. Our experience has been, we have seen a difference and we're kind of wondering whether we want the podcast account to continue, whether we just want to keep it there and actually focus all of our snippets efforts when it comes to the podcast on TikTok and just putting it there. Obviously, it's an extra little thing, but it's still an extra thing to do. And there's no point in posting if it's not really bringing any views or any connection or any interest. And also, Brock's idea, I really, again, he spoke again to what we're saying. I don't know if it does to you, but it definitely did to me.
Yeah. It's super interesting how you said there that back in the day, we would post everything all of the time, everywhere, because it was more important to show up and post and be out there and show your snippets and show off your guests. Whereas so interesting that you've just said now you might not post the snippets because it's not getting you what you want, rather than just post, because that is where everyone is. Don't think about, don't overthink it, just post it, just do it. That's what, you know, a lot of people are saying and what they're hearing, whereas now what you said, which is so much more strategically relevant, actually, what is it that you want? And then post it. Don't just post, because you might just not get any of the things that you want. And that snippet then is, it's not lost, but it won't have the, you know, the maximum impact value that you want it to by driving everyone to the podcast by just posting it with no, you know, and not getting what you want. I think people need to be, and we're both seeing that people are being way more strategic in their content.
And also what I try to say is that I am an absolute genius. Thank you very much. Yes, I know. Thank you. Thank you so much. Not putting words in your mouth, of course, and back at you. Now, joking aside, yeah, I agree. I genuinely feel though there was, that's what's interesting. I feel there is a place to try something. And I think that was the thing where I think strategy changes, and it can be any channel, doesn't have to be social either, where strategic thinking is really happening is when you say, okay, I'm going to try things. But when it doesn't work, or if it doesn't work, I'm going to figure out how to pivot and I'm going to learn from it, instead of constantly like bashing my head against the wall, hoping that it would work. And just because I started something, I had to continue it, because let's be honest, especially in the content world where there's so much content out, nobody keeps score. If you decide to move away from something because it's not serving you, or and the five lovely people that might watch your content, but you're like, how much time is this really asking of you? And I'm going back and then kind of leading into another bit of question here. I'm seeing that even if a lot of the content, there's a way where the content is more B-roll and or is more authentic when we add to commas and is kind of simpler. But I'm also seeing a lot more creators now investing more into making their content more dynamic, almost YouTube-like on the platforms, which is where if you tell me that 10 minutes, 3 minutes videos are going to become a thing, I can see that, because your talking head, whoever, even the most beautiful talking head, unless you're Ryan Reynolds, maybe there, I might. But 10 minutes of that, without a break, without something dynamic, is going to be hard. So I am seeing more creators starting to look at creative ways and engaging ways to make their videos longer, especially when it comes to talking heads, especially when it comes to original content. And I wonder whether this is the way things are going to go, which means we're going to take more time to create what usually would take us a couple of minutes just chopping and cutting. And I don't know if it's only me though, or if it's something that you've seen as well with some people coming out.
Yeah, for sure. And I know both Instagram and TikTok. I mean, most people that I've spoken to or seen this year just alone, and we're only in April, on Instagram, everyone is struggling to get what they want. Everyone wants more reach and more engagement, and we're all struggling. I don't think anyone is getting everything that they want out of it. Whether you have 10 followers or 10 million followers, nobody is getting the reach that they want. So I am seeing so many more people, especially on Instagram, trying new things and different things. Let's blow my own trumpet for a minute. I have even, you know, adapted and changed my own series, because I know nobody wants to watch me for 30 minutes talk about social media. I could be giving, you know, the best hacks and viral. Nobody wants that anymore. So I knew I had to make a change. And so I make them much shorter. I'm now doing different things. So instead of just talking into a camera, I'm doing something while talking. And I do get a lot more reach and engagement, and I knew I needed to change and do something different.
See, please use that trumpet. I genuinely love that somebody thought, you know what, the best way to describe how to actually kind of, you know, give yourself a compliment and pay yourself a compliment is to blow a trumpet. I love this language. It's,
yeah.
You guys are great. You guys are absolutely great. And it leads me actually to another question and thought that I had here to be controversial hat on. Okay. What is going to be then the role of captions in this new magical world? Because let me add, so Think Media is somebody else who did lots of mentions for you to check in the chat. But Think Media is another great example. So they are obviously YouTube first, if you don't know them. And I'm looking at their short videos and the videos that they do. And their captions are always very short. That's super, like, beyond super short. To the case of, like, one sentence. And part of me doesn't hate it in a way that part of me understands it. And part of me feels that even myself and I, I'm struggling to actually read through and completely digest a full-on caption on this platform. And I wonder whether, again, it's not just, we need to go after YouTube. Go, make your videos longer. Whether part of this thinking is actually being backed up by things on the background that we can't see. And it actually means that there is a place where we're trying to favor the video format as the video and all the graphic even, so that the captions can be very much more to the point. Once again, if you love captions, if you write long captions and it work for you, 1,000% I'm hearing you. I'm only speculating on the proviso of shifts on the platform that are making things really interesting to me. So I don't know. What do you think?
I've tested all manner of different lengths of captions just to test and to see what works. I've tried really short ones. I've tried none at all. I've tried really long ones with, you know, separated by emojis and asking a very clear call to action. I'm of the opinion that if you want people to watch the video, actually watch it and engage with it and listen to it, they're not going to read a very long caption, because why have a very long caption if you're wanting them to watch the point, right? So in the testing that I personally have done, I have found either no caption or a very short, like literally one sentence, works better, because people then watch the video. If it happens to be one of those trending, do you know what I mean? Just a video that's like a looping that then has the text on the screen. Do you know those? Everyone seems to be doing those. That's slightly different. But if you've got talking heads on a screen, one to four, I don't feel a caption really is going to keep people engaged. But again, that is just my testing. It's all down to different people. But again, I am seeing so many creators try lots of different ones. And I'll be honest, when I'm consuming content, I'm not reading them. I'll read the first four words, you know, when and then it says show more.
Same.
And then I'll just watch a video, or I'm off. I'm scrolling to the next one.
Same. And I think that's a really great point as well. The reason probably why I started thinking about it, aside from these pieces of news that you brought up, is because I thought about how I am engaging with like content myself, and I noticed myself doing a lot more of that. But then it's because I genuinely love the video content as a form. And these days it's just becoming the way that I consume content so much. But I always loved it because I love to create it as well. So it's kind of, you know, it's a helpful coincidence that I love both, because sometimes you can love consuming but you don't love creating it. And when I saw that, I think I just needed to remind myself to give, quote unquote, myself permission to be able to be like, actually, it's okay. And I think for some of us who create and are also writers, because I'm a writer, with books too, which means I like to write a lot of words. That's what I wanted to do since I was 10, by the way. Always wanted to be a writer. Wanted to be Stephen King, but a bit younger. I didn't write as many books as for yet. I think I will have to keep up, like literally as I start working now on that. So for me, it's always been about, I have to write more. I have to use writing as my main medium. And then I also realized how much more writing I do in general with everything else. And so I think it's understanding the medium that you use and the formats that we're using, but also remembering, and this is just my suggestion, despite me loving everything we both say about, you know, you do what works best for you. If a platform is pushing towards a format, and we don't know if that's the case yet, this is just something that they're testing, and it might be that it doesn't lead to anything. But if a platform is pushing towards a format and towards a way of consuming content, we kind of have to be open to understand that that might shift the way that we create it. And I genuinely, as you say, I've seen myself not reading captions that much anymore. A lot of people creating shorter captions that I consume content of, who are people that create videos, so to me speaks very clearly. But also, as you say, there's a lot of people that still do this short video and then here's how, here's why in the caption. Part of me also wonders, and that's the final little mini, this is a mini rant, whether this much content, especially on Instagram, being, I'm going to tell you the secret in the caption, it started to actually get people a bit off captions anyway because of that. Because you're like, well, this piece of content is a great hook in a way. But also for people that are already consuming a lot of content as video and they're just immersing the video, you telling me you're immersing this video, but I wanted to get out of this video to go back into the written content, it can create a bit of a disconnect when it comes to the user experience. So I don't know. I wonder what there is also the case. I'm ranting, but am I making any sense?
The thing is, you're making perfect sense. Look what happened to us all in 2019, before the bad times. We were all using Instagram. We were posting lovely single images. We were living our best life with just, we knew what was going on. There was hashtags, there was captions, there was, some people were going live, not many, but some were. There was, you know, there was some things, there was guides, there was stuff going on. And then they introduced Reels and a whole load of people just went, yeah, that's not for me. And now look at us. And now look at what we're creating, what we're consuming, what we're engaging with. And I guarantee that I would say nearly 90% of Instagram users have made a Reel, if not making Reels on a regular basis. So this kind of like signpost that longer content is being allowed, kind of like a little bit of a sign, this is what people want, and so therefore should we shift it? It's all about we could and we don't have to, but this is what the channels are going to start feeding more. So if you are making longer content, it's going to get fed out more, therefore the ultimate prize, more reach and more engagement and all the things that everyone wants.
I love what you mentioned that, because I think it brings back to the reminder that the platforms that we choose to rent space on, let's be honest, for free most of the time. Not always, that's the other thing. But the platform they choose to rent on, they're platforms that also are in their best interest to follow the trends of the wider user base, whether we like it or not. And so because of that, we have to understand that that will shift their behaviors. But for example, that was a raindrop. A raindrop, interesting. That was wasn't a raindrop, but it was a realization for me where the penny dropped. That's what that was dropped, not the rain. So when the penny dropped about the captions and what we just talked about, it was also a bit of like giving me a bit of that freedom to reassess and be actually, maybe we can simplify things, going back to what I mentioned earlier in this episode about being more strategic in a way where we actually, I think sometimes we think about strategy almost in a way of, what is this person telling me? Again, funnily enough, on the same platform that I'm on, they're telling me this is the thing you have to do, you know, experts, gurus and all that. But sometimes actually it's more about kind of stepping back myself and just being, when it comes to creating the content, how can I make this a more enjoyable experience for myself and also an experience that really aligns with my audience? So for example, whether it is engagement, whether it's watch time, whether it's all these things, I think that's one of the big things that sometimes we forget about, is that we think about big shifts, but sometimes the smaller shifts, as you say, shorter captions or this or what the other can actually have a lot of impact, because the platform is not there, sadly, just for us. It's there to follow the biggest shifts in the audience and in the market and how we can fit with that. Which, if you think, fab, this sounds hella exhausting, welcome to marketing. Especially social media and content. It is, as you said, big moments in time make big changes, because let's be honest, the before times was, or in between times was a big shift, right? But then we need to remember that on top of that, there are the small little shifts that happen throughout. And I think these are the ones where we see some things refining and some things dropping away. My final question to you on this topic is, how do you personally feel about longer videos on said platforms? Yay, nay, way, may.
I mean, I'm very much like you. We're very similar in a lot of ways. I like creating video content. I like consuming it. I like engaging with it. I'm a big fan of the longer form content. And I do feel, given the right topic and the right person and all the right things, you know, I think there's a huge space for it. Now, I'm not really on YouTube. I don't use it as much as possibly I should, but that's not where I put my content. So Instagram was the place where I had all my long form content. I went live, I reposted it, I clipped it up, and it was really popular it got me what I wanted for a really long time. And then I just saw it dying off, that's not what people were consuming. And then I flipped it around and I changed it. So it has actually made me change what I do. I still deliver the same value, the end product, but it's now not this hugely long piece. It's just this slightly shorter, more regular thing. So again, I've never found that my long form content has ever done very well on TikTok. It did really well on Instagram, but didn't on TikTok. So I always made it much shorter and then posted it, the snippets on TikTok, and they do better. I don't know whether now that I can post a 10 minute, I would absolutely test it, and I'm going to see what happens. But we also need to be mindful of, it isn't always the algorithm. It could quite literally be my content. It could quite literally be that the people that follow me or on those channels don't want to see my longer content, and that's okay. And then I need to make changes. So yeah, I still feel that there is a place for long form. I'm into it, given the right topic, and I'm going to start testing it again for sure.
Absolutely love that. I'm going to also add one more variable out of what you mentioned as well, which is sometimes also your audience is not receptive to longer form content on a platform because of the topic or you want to share. You know, what you want to share might work really well in that 1 minute because it gives them everything they need. In 10 minutes, you might actually lose them because it's too much for them to handle, to tackle, to action, to digest, or whatever. So that's the final piece. But I love also that you mentioned, obviously, thinking about yourself, thinking about the content, if that's the problem. I think these are all super important things. And actually, talking about, you know, we talked about something you wanted to bring in. I'm going to talk about a bit of, you know, a bit of a learning moment for us, Head Teacher Corner, to finish off. Something I wanted to share was actually something that we both experienced together in the receiving end, which was a lovely Penny, who will be on the podcast, spoiler alert, and has been already inside the student community teaching all things TikTok. So if you're a member of amschool.click/library of the student community, you can find the TikTok workshop. Love her to bits. And she messaged both of us and she was like, we should do a collab. And I actually responded to a call out she did about collab. So eventually she remembered that. And so she initiated that. And I also did a similar one when she did the original one myself. And I think we need to go back to that. And I might do another one because we got one person answering, blessing, and I was going on holiday. So we didn't follow through, but I'll do that. And it's been interesting how obviously she tapped onto a trend, which I love. And now I think she's going to be the one that does all the editing and stuff. But funnily enough, doing it and going through the process both ways actually made me realize how still much you need to kind of coordinate and organize and figure out and work through when it comes to collabs. And it made it exciting though, because it's nice actually, I like the idea of being able to have these different voices. And I'm interested to see how they're going to work specifically for us. But I genuinely feel that collabs are really well done if you actually have a bit of a system around that, so that you can actually coordinate and organize and figure out what you're doing with whom. Because I think it can be really a nice addition to a strategy if you do on a recurring basis. Was this your first kind of more structured collab that wasn't just somebody asked you to collab because you did something, or you've already done some of these before?
Yeah, no, pretty much this is the more structured or organized type of collab, rather than I've had an idea, made something and, you know, hooked them in and that someone else has posted it and it was just all spur of the moment. You happened to be standing next to them when you were doing it. But no, this, I like this kind of format of a structured, right, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I can just see all the jigsaw Lego pieces coming together. And I think, but again, for someone who works by themselves, I don't have a team. I am my team and all the hats, to be able to then have this extra element of content that not just shows me, but other people that I work with and that, you know, all of that. I think that is wonderful. And I would love to be able to do more of this. Penny is awesomely organized. So yeah, as soon as she said hands up in the crowd who wants to join me, I was like, me, please me. So yeah, I'm leaving all the organization to her, but I think I'll take this and template it and try and do it again, because it has been a nice experience for me for sure.
And what I love about it as well is that it is a unique take on something that can turn into something like a series or something more structured. Because I wanted to add that, because I think we've seen a lot of examples of collabs in different ways, from podcasts to all the, as you say, spur of the moment ones. And I think this is a reminder that you can actually then take it as a good excuse to collaborate, to work with somebody else on something that goes beyond things like lives that might be for you, might not be for you, and other ways that you can still do things together. So I also liked it. Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we're talking about, the shifts in the way that we consume video content and the way that we consume video content. And honestly, it does make me wonder about, I said it before, and I'm going to kind of finish with this as a thinking piece. If TikTok is still that behind the scenes, the snippets that kind of like, you know, more genuine, like just picking up and asking something, which I can still see that kind of going with that, I do wonder whether Instagram is also shaping up to be heavier on the side of, inverted commas, entertainment side of things. Even the education is snippety, is short. Even the education is very unique to you. It's less about this is what you have to do for this. It's more about I tried this and this is what worked for me. It's more of a behind the scenes, this is my journey sort of thing. And I always use, actually, me having loved YouTube since I was a teenager, watching creators on YouTube like for a very, very long time, especially Italian creators way back when. You create that connection with them and you see the people test and they try, but there's still the uniqueness to them. And I feel for a specific time where Instagram became one of the big platforms, obviously, where people could actually turn into a business, you know, teaching Instagram and doing Instagram and making money on Instagram. I feel there was a bit of dryness to it that we've started to see, like, this is how you become an expert, this is what you do, this is what we need. And I wonder whether the personal side of things is eventually coming out after Instagram has always been so curated for a very, very long time, you know?
Yeah. This is why when you said at the beginning, you were like, oh, someone is dead, B-roll is dead. And that's what makes me feel sad, because if everything was so Steven Spielberg and curated and just so formatted, I think it would lose a lot of what we really love about being a creator and engaging with creators. Again, I am one, but I like, you know, I follow a lot of other creators from all over the world, and I am inspired by them and want to work with them or want to do something they've done but put my own spin on it. And I think if we don't show, you know, the behind the scenes and the B-roll, it just takes away that personal element. And that is how I get a lot of my clients and my business and my mentees want to work with me, because when they see me online or they go and find me and then they meet me in person, that's what you get. It is, you know, people hear you on the podcast, they see you online, they see you in, you know, as a headmistress. It is the whole package. So I think it's really important to be personal. And our friend Ella Orr says it all the time. The whole point of social media is to be social. So I think it is, we're going to see, we should be seeing more of that.
So team, don't fret. Yes, things are changing again. But once again, I think sometimes it's testing, like even the big guys do what we do, right? And they test something, they don't know if it's going to work, and they see what happens. Sometimes if something sticks or if something changes for good, like, again, you mentioned guides earlier and made me think about guides goodbye and nobody cried about that. Sometimes things change because the majority of the users are changing their behaviors, and obviously the platform will know better than we do. So, it's a time for us to just kind of keep our eyes out and see how can we change with that and how do we want to take that change and make it ours. But I love what you said, and I think always prioritize on the social side of things, two things. The personal, showing yourself, but also something that I'm going to add to what you mentioned, which was great. Try to also have fun, if you can. Trying to make it fun or enjoyable also for you to create as much as possible. I know that some of us are like, I work for a toothpaste company. And fun fact, usually the people that do that stuff, they actually are more creative. But I know that it can be easier said than done sometimes. But if you manage to have fun, if you manage to make it fun, to focus on the things that are exciting you as well, your content also is better. And I think it's that reminder of that you're not at the mercy of just what is changing. You also have some control over some of this stuff. Or at least I hope we inspired you to do that. Emma, I will see you live at Creator Day. Shout out to Creator Day. At the end of the month, which is exciting. I'm going to be on stage and I'm probably going to throw you my mobile at some point. On air, I'm asking you to be my B-roll queen.
No problem.
But if anybody else wants to see you before that, and I will squeeze you for everybody else, dear listener, I will give her a squeeze for you. Where should they go? Where can they get all the tea, as always?
Well, the greatest place to find me is normally Instagram, but you can also find me on TikTok, and I am at Fresh Approach Digital. Yes, spilling all the tea all over the place whilst drinking it. The latest social media news every Friday for tea and tips. I've been a bit remiss. I've been less consistent, but that is where you can find me.
And yes, be kind to yourselves and others, as always. And remember that great marketing speaks to hearts, not just minds. And until next time, class is dismissed.